This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Today, it was the Capitol under siege, as we know, on January 6th. So marking that day, there were comments from the president and comments from the former president, Donald Trump. I'm Kate Delaney. Thanks so much for joining us on the show. So President Biden, on this first anniversary of the insurrection, called out the former President Trump for attempting to what he called undo American democracy. Here's what he said in a couple of tidbits of what he said in his speech. He said, and this was a speech that lasted, I guess, just under 30 minutes. He defended the founding ideals from threats posed by Trump, and that's what he said, in the violent mob that stormed the Capitol a year ago. He made reference to the former president 16 times in the speech, including lines accusing him of losing, failing, losing, and lying. And how did he use those references? He said a former president of the United States of America has created and spread a web of lies about the 2020 election. He said the former president's supporters are trying to rewrite history. He said the former president and supporters have decided the only way for them to win is to suppress your vote. He said he's not just a former president. He's a defeated former president. The former president failed to make his case. The former president who lies about this election and the mob that attacked this Capitol could not be further away from the core American values. So again, this was less than 30 minutes. And you know what? I noticed this. He mentioned, you know, kept saying the former president, the losing, the failing, the lying, but he never said his name. He never said Trump's name. So Donald Trump reacted to Biden's speech and just said it was political theater. It's a distraction for the fact that he has completely and totally failed is what the former president said, because of course he was asked about that. And he said, he's in this criticism, he said, look, Biden used me to try to further divide America. Again, the political theater is just a distraction for the fact that Biden has completely and totally failed. He said our country no longer has borders, has totally and completely lost control of COVID with the record numbers, is no longer energy independent, inflation is rampant, our military is chaos, our exit, our surrender from Afghanistan was perhaps the most embarrassing day in a long and distinguished history of the United States, and much more. So while Biden took shots at Trump, he didn't say Trump. He just kept saying the former president or a president of the United States. And then that was that. And that's where those comments just sort of lie. And I'm curious a year later what you think, 1 year later, of what now has happened in the country. Email me your thoughts, kate@katedelaneyradio.com, kate@katedelaneyradio.com. And as I mentioned, I mean, there are more legal matters that are happening because of the Capitol, and this is the thing that just goes on and on. And I do agree that both of them said about the division in the country. I think there's no question, and you and I know it from family, friends, neighbors. I mean, there is more divide than ever. In my lifetime, there's more divide than I can remember. I mean, I remember political passions boiling over even as a kid, but I don't remember seeing anything like this. I've in my lifetime, I have never ever seen anything thing like it. I can tell you one thing, Democrat, Republican, independent, staunch conservative, whatever you want to label yourself as, I think we all agree I am a proud American. I know so many of you are wonderfully proud Americans. You have written me about your tales and things that when you served and things that you've done and things that you've seen. Is we don't want to see that again no matter what. We don't want to see any kind of a siege of that sort on the Capitol, because I think in the end, the thing that was so sad for me is the innocents who got mucked up in this, and the innocents were those Capitol officers, because they're there just doing their job. They're just doing their job. They're out there on the hill, and then this happens, and they're stranded, and they're alone, and cornered, and one's killed, two others are so distraught they kill themselves and leave behind families, and then there were so many that just quit in the wake of it. So to me, that is one of the biggest tragedies. It's not really actually talked enough about. It's not talked enough about. All right, so we move on from what was a year ago to what is our reality today. And the reality today is just, you know, look, COVID is part of life. You know, we've got these infections that are forcing businesses to scramble. And to me, that's what is so disconcerting too, because listen, I mean, the reality is, whether you're getting health care, trying to feed families, you need money. I mean, the world revolves around having enough money to provide for kids, to provide for yourself, etc. I saw a great piece with Mike Rowe, who I have so much respect for. He was on Fox Business, and he was talking about something that I talked about the other day, about the record number of people quitting their jobs. And he was on Varney's show, Varney and Company, and he talked about the Labor Department statistic, which I said 4.5 million Americans either quit or change their jobs in November. And it's the imbalance of what's going on, right? And what does it mean? I mean, how does this affect us with roads? And he said it, roads, plumbing, affordable electricity, and all of that. And you think of what it means, because we've never seen anything like it in the energy industry. And he pointed that out, the restaurant industry. I've seen people devastated by what's going on in the restaurant industry, the cable and broadband industry. They're struggling because they don't have people. And so what is usually smooth and part of everyday life is no longer happening. I mean, you see the signs everywhere, mechanic wanted, plumbers, etc. And it's not going to change. We're feeling the effects of it. He's right. We're feeling just the tip of the effects of it. And the work imbalance is going to impact every single one of us. It's going to impact every single one of us. And you see it with people who save their pennies to work on their house, and then lumber shot up, and then even trying to get contractors and get enough people to work and do the work is really, really tough, because there's not enough people. There's not enough people that are available, and there are some great people out there doing the work. I had to have a huge plumbing thing done to my house, and oh my gosh, the guys who worked on it were amazing. But we were backed up, so to speak, for, I want to say it was like a month. And that was actually pretty good, where we had to be on a waiting list because they had so many jobs, so much work. And then it was about getting enough people to do the work and do the digging and do the things that they had to do and all these various projects. So I think Mike Rowe is right, and it's something that I saw and talked about too, that, you know, keep paying attention. And when everywhere you go, staff shortages, even the bank, where they don't have enough people working the bank, and they're closing some of these banks. Wow, crazy time.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to mysolarbackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's mysolarbackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at mysolarbackup.com.
If you feel America is facing more dangers than ever, you're right. An increasing number of things are falling apart daily. That's why you need to prepare for more of the unexpected, and that includes food shortages. When people panic, grocery stores run out of food fast. Would you survive without food for days, weeks, even months? The smart folks are buying emergency food now. Take this moment to shop MyPatriotSupply.com. We're America's leader in preparedness. My Patriot Supply has earned over 47,000 four-star and five-star reviews. Our delicious food kits average 2,000 calories per day and last up to 25 years in storage, so it's there when you need it. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com, order a food kit or two, and we'll ship quickly and discreetly to your door. Don't wait for the news to tell you something bad happened again. Rather, be more self-reliant and prepared. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Hi, this is Kate Delaney, and I have a confession to make. I'm addicted to journaling. So many of the ideas I get from my radio show or books hit me at weird times, and I need to write them down. Does that happen to you? So I decided to create my own journal with my pal Jackie. Looking for a great gift for your wife, sister, mother, aunt, friend, or boss to end 2020 or kick off 2021? My girlfriend's gratitude journal includes inspirational quotes and loads of room to write, and it just dropped. Here's the best part. You'll also get a copy of my Forbes book, Deal Your Own Destiny. Increase your odds, win big, and become extraordinary. It's loaded with ways to chart your own life and filled with the success habits with some of the biggest names on the planet, stuff they shared with me that can help catapult you. Here's the best part. For both hardcover books, it's just $29.99. Yep, go to katedelaneyradio.com, click on books, and special offer. Again, all of it for just $29.99. I got the shipping covered. What are you waiting for? Just go to katedelaneyradio.com, click on books, and special offer today. For another edition of Just the Facts. So Just the Facts includes hamsters. Yes, hamsters. They not only love to drink, but I guess they can hold their liquor. Check this out. A single hamster can drink the human equivalent of 1.5 liters of Everclear a day. What? 1.5 liters. Now, figure out the liter thing. I know you can do it. It's easy. Figure it out. It's a fact. In 1996, General Motors announced its first electric car, the EV1, at the Greater Los Angeles Auto Show. It made 2,500 of them before production ceased. Elon Musk, baby, he cornered the market on what they dropped. How about that? A study found that, this is just the facts, that sleeping more at night had no real impact on workers in a poor urban environment in India, but afternoon naps improved productivity and well-being. You know what? I agree with that. I was reading something from a thought leader named Michael Hyatt who said that's exactly what he does, that every day, every working day, he takes a nap. He does what he has to do, and then he takes a nap, and the nap bounces him back to be more effective later in the afternoon. I don't know, if you're working from home, is there a way you can just sneak off and take a nap? I always tell the fabulous technical maestros for this show that that's what they should do. that they should bring in a bean bag or have like this incredible blanket, and they should be able to curl up in a ball somewhere and just take a nap, you know, take an evening nap, whatever time that is, wherever it falls in, and maybe they wake up and they feel more rested. I did that once. I filled in an overnight in New York City for Joe Beningo, who's a very funny, well-known personality
in New York. In fact, I filled in for a few times, and I was so not used to being in New York that time all the way through those hours that there was like a dead zone, and there were these couches, and it was a known fact, right? Like, you bring a blanket and you go on the couch and just take a nap. And the nap didn't make me bounce back, though. At 3 o'clock in the morning, it didn't work quite the same way for me. I don't know. But I think if you do it in the afternoon, it kind of makes sense. So here's the scoop on this productivity thing. What they found out was, in measuring sleep, and this is the Quarterly Journal of Economics, just the facts, volume 136, issue 3, that what they face is challenging living environments that interfere with good sleep. So to measure sleep objectively, what they found is sleep in a couple of places in India, sleep was basically 5.5 hours a night on average, even if they were 8 hours in bed. So the sleep kept getting interrupted. And of course, this can happen in the United States or anywhere else. Do you sleep next to a snorer? Do you snore? Do you have sleep apnea or insomnia? So many people have insomnia. Like, there's a run on melatonin half the time when you go to the grocery store. What? There's no melatonin because people can't sleep. So maybe if you tried this idea of taking a nap for like a half an hour or so in the afternoon, it might work. Because they're saying what happened was people that didn't get enough nighttime sleep, their decision-making and well-being and all that kind of was a little bit in jeopardy. But when they took those short afternoon naps, it improved the outcomes big time, right? Much more significant in productivity, psychologically, and all of that. So I say if people feel better taking naps, and if they work for you and you know the nap is going to work, let them nap. Hey, when you're a kid, right, that's how you start off. If you go to kindergarten or pre-K, they have nap time. They turn off the lights, and the kids sleep for, what, an hour, 45 minutes, whatever it is. So it's kind of like they rip that nap time thing away from you. I'm just saying. All right, it's a fact, and it's a shame. There's a helium shortage, right? I'm not even going to say the word supply chain, but it is supply chain. Because some of the places that produce the helium had to shut down, right? It's winding down, though. The crunch is almost over, right? They don't have a stable supply of material they need to keep things running, helium-wise, you know, because here's the thing, the sale of crude helium to private industry was discontinued, and the stockpile is earmarked for federal users. But then it trickles down to the party stores where you see the signs, out of helium. Thank goodness this did not happen to Sophia Vergara when she was a guest of Jimmy Fallon's, as he convinced her that helium was her friend. Take a listen.
My name is Sophia Vergara.
Cute.
Yeah, come on. Isn't that funny? That's a funny bit, right? You take the balloon, you do the helium thing, and then your voice sounds like that. I was going to do it for all of you on these airwaves. I know you would just spread the word and more people would listen to the show. But they were out of helium. I went to two party cities out of helium. So I was sabotaged because of the shortage. I couldn't get it. I was told it's going to be ample and plentiful, though, that it's happening. So I should come back. So when I can come back to the store and they have helium, I will perform that very feat for you, just like she did on Jimmy Fallon. It is odd. It is a funny thing when you hear someone do that with their voice, right? It is. It's crazy. All right, just the facts. Starbucks. Oh, yeah, Starbucks everywhere, right? They're requiring employees to get COVID vaccines or be tested weekly. That's it. They're on board. They have to be vaccinated by February 9th, or they're going to get that weekly testing. They say it's in response to the Occupational Safety and Health Administration. They issued a vaccine or test requirement for companies with more than 100 employees, remember, back in November. And there have been court challenges, but Starbucks is moving forward, right? The Supreme Court is scheduled to consider actually the requirement on Friday. But Starbucks is requiring the 228,000 employees to disclose their vaccination status by January 10th. So they don't even know. So they're going to, so people are going to have to tell them if they were vaccinated or not. Now, the good news is, look, employees who test positive can use paid time to self-isolate. They say they're offering employees two instances of paid isolation time, both up to 5 days each. So, yeah. How much do you think people would take advantage of that? Would somebody take advantage of that? I'm going to say that's something you don't want to gamble with, because what if you get it and then you get it again? Because some people are getting them, maybe they're spaced out, but they're getting it more than once. So once you play that card, it's like the river card. Once they turn it over, that's it. That's the card. So maybe that wouldn't be something that you would mess around with. I'm just saying. Maybe not. Maybe that's not something you want to do. All right. Just the facts. We end on this note. Remember the Nirvana baby? You know, the naked baby on the cover of the Nirvana album, Nevermind, the Nevermind baby. 30 years old now, suing the band over the album cover. A California judge granted a motion to dismiss a child pornography lawsuit brought by the man who appeared as the itty-bitty baby on the very famous cover of Nirvana's Nevermind album. He filed the lawsuit, why not try, in August against members of the former band, music executives, and the photographer from the shoot. This is Spencer Eldon. He claims he'll suffer lifelong damages thanks to the album cover that depicts him as a baby with his genitals showing on the cover. After the defendant's motion for the lawsuit dismissal back in December, Eldon and his legal team had until the 30th to file an opposition. They did not do so. So there you go. It's over with. You know, it's interesting. It is an iconic cover, and I just don't think of it as child pornography, I suppose. When I look at it, it just looks like a cute baby. But like I said, somebody had the idea that, hey, maybe people are picking on him or have picked on him about that album cover, and he wanted some relief. But he did not get it legally anyway. That's just the facts.
Stop aging now. Restore those joints. Boost your strength. Because it's official. NutraMedical has released the most exciting, powerful anti-aging supplement on the market. Dr. Bill Deagle's Red Deer Velvet DR has been approved by the U.S. Patent Office. Imagine stem cell rejuvenation all in one capsule without huge expense. Dr. Bill MD discovered that as an unborn baby grows in the mother's womb, he or she does not deteriorate or physically age. Red Deer Velvet DR, like the uterus, provides 300 biomolecules and 6 hormones protected in one special DR capsule that delivers lipid packages directly into your circulation. This patented technology bypasses the stomach and is released into the small bowel unaltered by digestive enzymes and stomach acid. Remember, Red Deer Velvet DR. Improve endurance, stimulate your immune system, increase learning ability, and even improve sexual libido with Red Deer Velvet DR. Click NutriMedical.com. That's NutriMedical.com. Or call toll-free 888-212-8871 and get on the road to a newer, rejuvenated, happier you.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
US USA Radio News with Wendy King.
Chicago Public Schools canceled classes once again after the district and teachers union failed to agree on whether to allow remote learning during a spike in COVID-19 cases. The Chicago Teachers Union voted to refuse to return to in-person classes after the winter break, taking issue with the COVID-19 guidelines and safety measures. Chicago Mayor Lori Lightfoot called the CTU vote against in-person learning an unlawful unilateral strike. She said, "We are standing firm and we are going to fight to get our kids back to in-person learning, period." Investigators think they know what caused yesterday's fire at a Philadelphia row house that killed 4 adults and 8 children. The DA's office has confirmed that a child playing with a lighter near a Christmas tree may have been what started the fire. President Biden spoke to the nation as he marked 1 year since a mob stormed the U.S. Capitol trying to stop lawmakers from certifying the 2020 presidential election results.
"Here's the truth. The election of 2020 was the greatest demonstration of democracy in the history of this country. More of you voted in that election than have ever voted in all of American history."
Members of Congress also remembered what happened to them at the Capitol on this day. Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer said democracy should always be defended.
"The attacks on our democracy are ongoing."
House Speaker Nancy Pelosi said democracy didn't lose that day. She said that was largely due to the heroic efforts of Capitol Police officers who were injured or died defending the Capitol.
"I ask all members to rise for a moment of silence in their memory."
You're listening to USA Radio News.
As Dr. Wallach says, we all have nutrient deficiencies in our diets and must supplement with 90 essential nutrients in proper balances. At no cost or obligation, get a personal certified holistic health coach to help you develop a supplement program based on Dr. Wallach's recommendations. Call Linda at 833-VITAL-90. That number to call is 833-848-2590. That's 833-VITAL-90.
Hi, this is Dr. Joel Wallach, the mineral doctor. You've heard me talk about 90 for life for years. 60 minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, 2 fatty acids. You may not know this, that I've actually designed Arthrodex for animals. That's right. Your pets need 90 for life, too. Get this essential pet product by calling 877-279-9422. That's 877-279-9422. Again, 877-279-9422.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to command an Air Force Special Operations Combat Air Crew? I can say I have, but in my virtual green room, I have somebody who's actually done it, and we are so thrilled to have him with us. Let me tell you, Jason Harris has a resume that is so long and so impressive, it would eat up every second of this interview, so we can't dive into his entire career. But combat 11 times. He's seen things that I'm sure would make the hair on the back of my neck and yours rise right up. 12 and a half years of active duty. He started on the C-130, and he's done so many interesting things, and he just was promoted, and thank goodness we have him in the reserves. We need people like Jason Harris. Jason, thanks so much for coming on.
Thank you so much for having me, Kate. It's an honor to be here.
So first, let's talk about your new promotion. Tell us about that.
Yeah, so I was recently honored to assume command of the 905th Air Refueling Squadron at McConnell Air Force Base in Wichita, Kansas. And that unit is comprised of pilots, boom operators, and support team members, where we fly the Air Force's newest tanker, the KC-46, where we get to pass a bunch of gas in the air from our plane to other planes, and we can also receive gas from other airplanes into our airplane to accomplish the mission.
Oh, that's so cool. How dangerous is that? I've seen that like in a Bond movie and it didn't work out too good, I don't think. That is kind of tricky, isn't it?
You know, it's interesting. Like when I get asked that question, because I do it, I'm like, it's no big deal. But then when I start explaining this, I'm like, wait a minute. So here's the deal, man. You're basically going to take an airplane. You're going to fly up. You're going to take a plane that's about 500,000 pounds, and you're going to fly it up to another airplane that's about 400,000 or 500,000 pounds, and you're going to get this little stick that's going to shove into the nose of your aircraft, and you're probably going to be about 20 or so feet, maybe if that, away from this other airplane, and you're going to fly around at about 500 miles an hour while you get gas. It's just easy. It's just another day at the office. It's not dangerous at all.
That doesn't sound dangerous. So when you started your career, what was that like when you went into your first C-130? What was that moment like for you?
Wow. You know, I think even going before C-130s, Kate, is like pilot training. Pilot training was like one of the most challenging years of my life, because the Air Force says you start on this day and a year later exactly, you will be done. And think of it like this, from pilot training, even when I started flying C-130s, I wasn't legal to rent a car by myself without extra insurance, but the Air Force said, here, kid, here's the keys to a jet. You can fly inches, literally inches away from another jet at 300-400 miles an hour, a couple hundred feet off the ground. Good luck. Have fun. We've trained you well, right? And so it was scary. It was exhilarating. It was anxious. It was exciting. All of that at the same time. And it was so amazing to realize that I had been entrusted to do this mission and work with a crew of people that were so well trained, so professional. And it was such an amazing time.
Did you know when you were a kid that this is what you wanted to do?
Absolutely not. No. What I tell people, Kate, is that I'm number two of my mother's six children, product of three marriages, four fathers to her six children. I grew up a stone's throw away from the Black Panther Party headquarters in Oakland, California. And so growing up, I had never met a pilot that looked like me. And I didn't realize that being a pilot was even a possibility. It wasn't until I went to college that I realized that, oh, wait, there's this thing called being a pilot. And I had seen them, of course. I'd flown on airplanes, but it didn't click, right? I mean, it's like, how do you become a pilot? And so it wasn't until college that I was like, wait, these people were teaching me about being a pilot, and there was a possibility. And so I was like, well, you know what? I think I'll try that on for size.
And it worked out, and it's still working out for you. And I mentioned that you did, 11 combat missions. What were they like?
Yeah, so I did 11 combat deployments, 470-plus combat sorties, and each one was unique in its own right. You know, I started deploying in 2003, and then my last combat deployment was 2011, and everyone was different. Every time you went out to do a mission, there was something different. You know, I remember one mission and flying into Baghdad, Iraq, and we're sitting there. We had landed, and we're offloading cargo. We're getting ready to unload cargo. And all of a sudden you hear incoming mortar fire, and a mortar lands and it hits a fuel bladder and it just explodes, and you see this massive fireball, right? Like, and that was just kind of like, that's another day at the office. No big deal. We didn't get hit. Let's go ahead and button up the airplane. Let's get out of here and go back to where we got to go next. Right. So,
wow.
Everything was so unique.
Yeah. No kidding. So you take all this experience and you're, a professional speaker, and I can just see how you would just mesmerize an audience. And you have a lot to also offer as far as teaching, when it comes to being a leader, when it comes to imposter syndrome. You know, the story you told about your younger, you had no idea, then look what happens to you and how you can do it and just went through and you didn't think about it. So tell us about your speaking career.
Yeah, so I was teaching at the Air Force Academy, and a good friend of mine invited me to come to Toastmasters and then got me involved with the National Speakers Association. And we started talking, and he started asking me about these different stories that I would tell. And over the course of time, I realized that there was some power in those stories to help other people based on some of the things that I struggled with and based on some of the things that I experienced in leadership roles as well as in followership roles. And so I took those lessons of the amazing people that I worked with in the Air Force, and I began to translate those stories for businesses, for associations, to help them when it comes to their frontline employees, middle management, C-suite team members, and how do you get a high-performance team to work together to create a culture that's built on commitment, accountability, and most importantly, trust.
I was just going to get to that. So trust is definitely your thing, and that's definitely something that I see that's lacking in a lot of cultures, whether it's somebody in mid-management, C-suite, or wherever it is. How important is trust?
trust is everything. I mean, you know, they said trust is everything. It's the only thing. You know, when we go out there to do the mission, I have to trust that young person in the back. And I want you to picture this, Kate. Picture you have a 17, 18, 19-year-old kid or young person fresh out of high school. They've entered the military, and now they're a loadmaster in the back of that airplane, and they're responsible for more than 80% of that aircraft. And if they don't do it right, then not only will the mission not get completed, people can possibly lose their lives. And the only way that we can make that mission happen, the only way we can execute what we do every single day is by trusting people. But you don't get to the level of trust that you need if you don't have the right training in place and you don't have the right processes in place to then allow you to be able to trust that person. And yes, we trust and verify. However, if you've got the right training, the right process, you know that you can absolutely unequivocally trust that young person to execute the mission.
So that's obviously something that has to happen or might be lacking in some companies, or they're working on it. You hear the word mentorship thrown around a lot, but I don't know that they always know how to implement it. I'm not attacking companies, because there's some corporations that do a wonderful job of it. And of course, there's always the search, the mission to search for the right. You understand missions. It's the search for the right fit. How do we do this? How do we implement that? How do you implement that? How do you get to that culture of trust? How do you start to work on that if you really feel like you're maybe at ground zero or you have a lack of trust across the board?
Yeah, I think it starts with just assessing the programs that you have, Kate, right? What I tell companies that I work with, different clients, I say, you guys have obviously hired the right people. And a lot of times we think maybe we didn't hire the right people. No, you hired the right people. But when is the last time that you evaluated what your training program looks like? And a lot of times they go, oh, well, we just do OJT. Well, let's start with the onboarding program. When's the last time you evaluated what that initial onboarding training program looks like? In the military, that's called our basic training. That allows us to speak a common language. That allows us to understand the common culture, right? To understand the ethos of who we are as an organization, as a team. And then after you reevaluate the training, then what does that process look like? And if we just start there, and so what happens, and my wife and I, we talk about this all the time when we have these various encounters in organizations, you know, when's the last time you called somewhere and you had a phone call, Kate, and you're like calling a medical facility or a hotel or something, and you want to be upset with that young person or that person, whoever they are and however they old they are, but then you step back and you go, wait a minute, maybe they haven't been properly trained. Maybe they don't have a process that supports that training so that every time they get on that phone or every time they deal with somebody at that desk, that they do it well and they do it with a level of commitment and a level of accountability. So that's where that implementation starts at, is just evaluating what your programs look like, and then we can begin to build from there.
Yes, yeah, so starting right at the beginning, because if you don't have it at the beginning, I could go through whatever program it is, but if there's no accountability, that's a great one. No accountability. Well, how do we know what's happening? And if I don't have a routine and I don't know this is standard operating procedure, which you understand that, if you don't have the SOP, what's going to happen, right?
Oh, absolutely. You know, as an airline pilot, people are amazed when I say, Kate, is that I have shown up to the airplane, never having flown to that destination, never having met that fellow pilot before a day in my life. And guess what? There's a 200,000-pound airplane, and there's 200 people in the back of that airplane, and they trust that we will get them there safely. And the company trusts that we will execute that job safely. Why and how can we do that? It's because they've provided us with the right training, and they provided us with the right processes by way of a standard operating procedure, by way of checklists, and other things that allows us to implement that training every single time.
Yeah, that's the key. All right, Jason, so if people want to find you when your feet are on the ground anyway, where can they do that?
They can absolutely find me. My website is nofailtrust.com. If you go to nofailtrust.com, you'll find a little bit of her information about me. And if you want to email me, feel free to email me at jason@nofailtrust.com. And you can also send me a text, call at 719-203-7257.
All right. People are going to be calling you for rides. I know it. Come on, take me up. I want to open that big bird. It was just wonderful to have you on the show. Thanks so much for coming on.
Thank you so much, Kate. It's a pleasure and honor, and I appreciate you so much.
My name is Milan Vukovic. 10 years ago, I got frustrated with the quality of Pau D'Arco tea sold in the stores. So, I founded the Pau D'Arco Tea Club that now ships our super tea to over 100 countries. You, too, can order or get info about the original pure Pau D'Arco super tea at www.drinksupertea.com or by calling 818-965-9113. Why settle for less when you can order original pure Pau D'Arco and drink super tea for only $34.95 per pound plus shipping? Each pound makes 300 cups, which is the equivalent of 12 cents per cup for the original pure Pau D'Arco super tea. Order now at www.drinksupertea.com. That's drinksupertea.com or by calling 818-965-9113. That's drinksupertea.com or by calling 818-965-9113.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions, SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
First, we decide where we want to go. Then we need to know the best way to get there. Hi, my name's Adam Baratta. I'm the owner of Advantage Gold. We're the highest rated precious metals firm in the country. We teach people how to own physical gold and silver. Now, we've won the Best of TrustLink Award 4 years in a row because we educate our clients on how to buy gold and silver the right way. We don't pay celebrity spokespeople millions of dollars. We'd rather pass that value on to you. Call 800-900-8000 and speak with one of our experts. We'll send you a free gold kit along with my latest number one national best-selling book, The Great Devaluation. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000. Get the best information, the best process, the best service, the best value. Call Advantage Gold at 800-900-8000. Call 800-900-8000.
The final phase of extermination is set to commence now. And as population die-off becomes evident, you know it is the time of punishment in all that is written. The cover for mass die-off is evolution and global warming frauds, also used as false proof of their Christ. They are from the lines that were disinherited 2,000 years ago. Now they claim to be his Christ based upon blood type, DNA, and long lifespan. Go to unveilingthem.com. That's UNVEILING them.com.
This woman, because she shares something in common with me. She likes cake. You can have your cake and eat it too. Zoe Francis is with us. She is an acclaimed pastry chef and a cookbook author, and she's got this brilliant new show that's coming up, Magnolia Network, Zoe Bakes, and you will learn so much. Hey Zoe, thanks for coming on.
Hi, so nice to be here.
So let's talk about your show first on the Magnolia Network. What's that been like for you, Zoe Bakes?
Well, I have to say that it's been a bit of a dream come true for me, because the show is like ultimately about baking, which is, you know, my love, but it's also about my community. Minneapolis started out as a food community. We grew wheat, and we have a milling history. And so I get to go out and visit with farmers and millers and producers and bakers, and get to go to church basements and bake with people in people's homes and get inspired by what they're doing, and then come home and bake. And my goal and my wish is that all the viewers will fall in love with baking just as I have and bake with me.
I like that, bake with you, and that's the key thing, because then you learn as you go along. And I know you get asked this question all the time, but I have to ask it. Do you have a favorite recipe?
Well, It really changes every day. So it depends on my mood. It depends on the season. It depends who I've been with and what they've been doing that inspires me. So everything from like a quick morning muffin to baking bread, coffee cakes and layer cakes. I mean, I could go on and on about the cakes. But absolutely everything. And, you know, everything from stuff that's very simple, one bowl, stir it, to things that are a little bit more intricate and more of a project. And the thing is that I walk you through every single detail, every step. And so no matter what your experience level is, you can bake with me.
Ooh, that's key. So no matter, like, if you can't, you don't have to be intimidated because you're so amazing. I mean, you're a trained pastry chef from the Culinary Institute of America, for goodness sake, and a very well-known name in the world of baking, so we don't have to be intimidated. One of the things you're known for is your special vanilla extract. How do we make that?
Yes, yes, it's my favorite. It's in every single recipe. And it's super easy to make. It's actually just two ingredients. You need vanilla beans. And then what you do is you just cut them down the length of the bean and then scrape out all the beautiful black seeds that are inside. And then you just put those into a jar. You want to use several so that you get a really nice, intense flavor. And then the secret is you just fill the bottle up with vodka, and the vodka disperses all those beautiful seeds and makes the extract. One thing that you have to do is shake up the bottle, and then you let it ripen or mature for like 3 or 4 months. So it is something you have to think ahead, but then once you have it, you can have it forever because I just keep adding more beans and more vodka. I've had one bottle since 2012 and I just keep refreshing it, and it's absolutely the best vanilla you'll ever have.
Ooh, I love that. I was just scribbling that down. So congratulations, too, by the way, not on just this new show, but also on your book that came out last March, Zoe Bakes Cakes. Was that a fun book to put together?
Yes, it was. You know, I love cake. I mean, everybody adores cake, and it's sort of the symbol of every occasion, from birthdays to weddings. But you don't actually need an occasion to eat cake. Like, Tuesday is a good enough reason for me. So there's everything in there, from one bowl recipes to actually I finished the book with a wedding cake for people who are interested in doing that. And there's everything in between. And it's just been, this book probably has more of me and my soul in it than anything else I've done, except for the show, which is just my joy.
And your show, like I said, is on the Magnolia Network. So how can we find it?
It's on the Magnolia Network on Sundays at 2 p.m. Eastern Time.
All right, 2 p.m. I'm there, absolutely. Zoe, yay! What a delight. What a delight to meet you. As soon as we're off this, I'm making that vanilla extract. I'm not kidding you. And I'm going to hunt you down. I'm going to send you a photo
of it.
Thank you.
I am
going to love it. Zoe Francis, thank you.
Bye.
So the background of Zoe is so interesting. I mentioned to her there in the interview that she's a trained pastry chef from the Culinary Institute of America, which is not easy. She's written other books. She's a recipe consultant. She's a food photographer. Oh, when you look at food and it makes you want to eat it, I mean, she's brilliant at that. A Food Network guest judge and just an absolute celebrated baking instructor. And she's, of course, a leading authority in the world of baking. There is no doubt about that. She wrote a book called Artisan Bread in 5 Minutes a Day, and that cookbook series, and that's really, really good. And she mentioned that the whole idea of the show is you could be a beginner or you could be more advanced and you could learn how to bake. I'm just saying, guys, you know what could happen? I'm thinking Valentine's Day. Imagine if you baked something. I mean, why not, right? My brother's an awesome cook. He's a manly man, and he's an awesome, awesome cook. And he got a bread machine for Christmas, and I think he's going to get into the baking thing. Anyway, he's not alone. what's so interesting is there's like a growing number of people who want to bake. In the November-December 2020, if you go back a couple of years, National Online Consumer Survey packaged facts reported a growing number of consumers who consider themselves bakers. Like they're saying, I'm a baker. 84%, in fact, of the people who responded reported baking at home with some sort of frequency anyway. And that survey also found that 45% of consumers surveyed consider themselves avid bakers. So people who bake at least once or twice a month. And now you look at like the sale of flour. So some of the data provided by King Arthur Baking Company, they've sold over 156 million pounds of flour. This was in 2020. And then it was a 58% increase in pounds from 2019. Sales growth, they were up 61%. I mean, that's that whole thing of the pandemic gives and takes away. And baking is comfort, right? So the trend of home baking soared during the pandemic, and it's still going strong. And they really expect it, they being the people in the industry who look at the data and the numbers, to have this sustained elevated sales of some of these products at least through 2025, and I predict just beyond that. Thus Zoe and what she's done in the idea of teaching people how to bake and her passion that was niched into that. So, you know, in this packaged foods home baking report, they found that the sales of baking related products just grew and grew and grew by 24% to $26.5 billion in 2020. So I give you those numbers for a reason, because this was the fun of doing this segment of thinking about, wow, just the things that you can do with baking, right? It's like when I go to the market, I see half the baked goods, I look at them, and I see that they're on sale, up 50% off, because people didn't buy them. And they didn't look that great to me. And it's not because I think it's not because they didn't buy them. I think it's because more people are, yes, they didn't buy them, but I think it's because more people are baking and they would rather have something fresh, especially when it comes to, you know, making bread or making cakes or any of that kind of stuff. And that is, again, that comfort food. When I was a kid, I don't know about all of you, but when I was a kid, that was the whole thing with my grandmother. I would just be mesmerized watching her roll, like a rolling pin. Can you imagine that? Rolling out the dough and the flour. And I think at least four times a week, I mean, maybe almost every night sometimes, we had some sort of dessert. That's what it was. It was meat, potatoes, and dessert. And she made great pies, I mean, from scratch. And even at that time, she certainly could have gotten them from the store. She could have gotten store baked. And I don't know that, I'm not saying that she never did, but I'm just saying my recollection is what it was so cool was to watch her do that and to lay out all that stuff fresh. Like we'd run to the farmer's market. So there you are supporting the farmers, getting the apples, getting the peaches, getting the whatever, and she would make them fresh. So I thought it'd be a fun segment to do that, and it's something fun to probably watch. I don't know. Put it on your list. Maybe you'll become a baker. Maybe there's some cake that you had in your family history that you could recreate, and it's not as difficult as you think. It's, you know what it is? It's like everything we do, I figure it out, right? It's a patience thing. It's a patience thing. Thanks to all of you for listening to this version of the show. Make it count, everybody.
The Tahibo Tea Club's original pure Poudiarco Super Tea naturally builds good cells and kills bad cells. So, it's great for healthy people, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting an infection, diabetes, or cancer. To order, visit drinksupertea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's drinksupertea.com. 818-965-9113. drinksupertea.com.
Do you feel like you're doing what you were made for? Do you love what you do? Do you feel inspired or at least pretty happy most days? In my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big and Become Extraordinary, I share the secrets that rock stars share with me from the business world, people like Sir Richard Branson, or sports hall of famers like former Cowboy great Emmitt Smith. All of them had one thing in common. They paid attention to their gut, followed their dreams, and didn't listen to the critics. George Eliot says it's never too late to be who you might have been. Pick up a copy of Deal Your Own Destiny on Amazon today.